Today's episode is based in part on the writings of Robert Graves, a British author of more than 120 books, with his most controversial work published in 1948 and titled The White Goddess, a historical grammar of poetic myth, in which he argues for the existence of an all-important ancient religion rooted in the remote past but continuing into the Christian era based on the worship of a goddess. Graves' controversial and unorthodox theories of mythology shocked many at the time because of their basic feminist premise. According to Graves, the white goddess combines the powers of love, destructiveness, and poetic inspiration. She ruled during a matriarchal period in the distant past before she was deposed by the patriarchal gods who he claimed represented cold reason and logic. In ancient Greek and Roman mythologies, pigeons were associated with Aphrodite, the goddess of love, pleasure, passion, and beauty. In Sumerian culture, Inanna or Ishtar, the goddess of war and sexual relationships, was often portrayed with a dove or a pigeon. The Egyptians held pigeons in high esteem and associated them with good fortune, fertility, and longevity. In Christianity, pigeons were regarded as a loyal messenger to humans, considered a good omen, with a white dove often seen as a representation of the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament Gospels of Matthew and Luke, both passages describe after the baptism of Jesus, respectively, as follows. Quote, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him." And, quote, "And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" The Holy Spirit descending on Jesus and appearing in the bodily form of a dove is mentioned in two other Gospels as well. The dove and olive branch also appeared in Christian images of Noah's Ark, which, according to some scholars, afforded the early Christian community an opportunity to express piety in a vessel that withstood the threatening environment of Roman persecution, especially prior to Constantine. It is one of the most ancient symbols of God, or goddess, recognized by Jews and what many refer to as pagans well before Jesus' baptism. Doves were seen in the ancient world as representative of the divine, especially in the mystery religions, which in a more modern terminology are associated with Gnostic philosophy. Gnosis is a Greek word meaning knowledge or wisdom, but not in the context of information gained from reading books, but rather in terms of intuition, divine inspiration, or a direct hunch or inner guidance. This spiritual knowledge or insight is accessed through a set of sacred activities which help to subdue the ego and awaken dormant psychic centers thought to require a certain degree of stimulation to become receptive. The rituals that bring about this merging with the divine vary from different cultures, but all are directed towards stimulating the central nervous system in an effort to alter one's state of consciousness. While drugs are often ingested, other techniques involve long periods of ecstatic dancing to drums, fasting, self-flagellation, which means whipping oneself to inflict pain, followed by various forms of meditation. Of course, the most esoteric technique is tantric yoga, and involves an extended sexual act which does not end in a pregnancy, but rather aims to extend and amplify the orgasm to such a degree that an altered state is achieved in which the veils to other realities are thinned or removed altogether. It's in this context that pharaohs, emperors, kings, sages, monks, magi, and alchemists worship the goddess who gave them divine access to otherworldly knowledge, rather than the modern concept of feminism, which is nothing more than Marxist ideology exploiting women to bring about a political agenda.
Through a female attorney I knew, who called me up one day and said, one of the Rockefellers would like to meet you. I had made a video called Mad as Hell, and he'd seen the video and wanted to meet me, and knew I was running for governor of Nevada. So sure, I'd love to meet him. And I met him, and I liked him. And remember, we were friends, and we used to have, he used to come to my house a lot. We'd have dinner, we'd talk, and he'd tell me about business investments, how you get involved in, you know, or they would help me with this business investment or that business investment. And was I interested in joining the Council on Foreign Relations? You know, I would have to get a letter to join them, but was I interested in that? And, you know, just stuff, you know. He was at the house one night, and he would talk, and he started laughing. He said, "Aaron, what do you think women's liberation was about?" And I said, I had pretty conventional thinking about it at that point. I said, "I think it's about women having the right to work, getting equal pay with men, just like they won the right to vote, you know." And he started to laugh. He said, "You're an idiot." And I said, "Why am I an idiot?" He said, "Let me tell you what that was about. We, the Rockefellers, funded that. We funded Women's Lib, you know. And we're the ones who got all over the newspapers and television, the Rockefeller Foundation." He says, "And you want to know why?" He says, "There were two primary reasons. And they were, one reason was we couldn't tax half the population before Women's Lib. And the second reason was now we get the kids in school at an early age. We can indoctrinate the kids how to think. It breaks up the family. The kids start looking at the state as the family, as the school, as the officials, as their family, not as the parents teaching them." And so those are the two primary reasons for Women's Lib, which I thought up to that point was a noble thing. You know, when I saw their intentions behind it, where they were coming from when they created it, the thought of it, I saw the evil behind what I thought was a noble venture. So they make all the rules, you understand? And they put whatever rules they want into effect. And the truth is, America has really become a socialist, communist country. And everybody says it's a capitalist country. It's not a capitalist country. You know, how can it be capitalistic when you have a central bank? That's the first, it can't be.
In true ancient feminism, the white goddess, or the divine mother of fertility, love, and divine inspiration, embodies life as wholeness in all of its aspects, in a myth that permeates all religions. Is it any wonder why so many people from various cultures and numerous continents still venerate the divine goddess, even after being converted to Christianity, whose triune leaves out the feminine principle in the Father, Son, and what became replaced as the Holy Ghost? In Gnosticism, Sophia is a feminine figure, analogous to the soul. Sophia means wisdom, and the Greek word philosophy means love of wisdom. In the Orthodox and Roman Catholic Church, the feminine personification of divine wisdom as holy wisdom, or Hagia Sophia, and what in pagan times referred to as the wise, later was vilified during the Inquisition and is where the non-converted became known as witches, people who called themselves Wicca, meaning the wise people, who practiced the age-old rites which in modern Christian context is considered witchcraft, in an anthropological context is considered fertility rites, and in layman's terms is considered sacred sex, which were performed not only to gain subjective insight from the inner world, but to be able to actually influence objective reality of the outer world. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon, as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you could do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those that are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please hit the like button and subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your comments, so please leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.